Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. It's been just under a month since renowned conductor Benjamin Zander was fired from the New England Conservatory for hiring a known sex offender named Peter Benjamin to work as a videographer for NEC's youth orchestra.
In subsequent public statements, Zander's tone went from indignant to apologetic to now silence. That is, until the maestro granted an interview to Radio Boston contributor Jeff Edgers, arts reporter for the Boston Globe. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there.
So you met with Benjamin Zander at his home on Brattle Street in Cambridge. What was the mood like?
I actually met with him over a few days. There were days when he was very engaged, upbeat, and there were other days where he was really down and felt like, you know, what am I doing sitting here talking to you?
Well, initially, Zander maintained that he'd done nothing wrong, even though the man in question, the videographer, was a level 2 sex offender who had been convicted of crimes involving 3 young boys, one as young as 13. Does he maintain that line of thinking, or has his mind changed about that? What is he saying now?
I think he's changed his mind about that. A lot of times you'll call somebody in the heat of a moment, and they will say, look, I'm not comfortable talking, or they won't take your call. He feels he made a mistake that day. He was fired after, 45 years at New England Conservatory. And one of my colleagues in Metro actually called him and said, hey, tell me what you think about this. And he said some things that he said later he regretted. Namely, he defended Peter Benjamin, and he also said he did nothing wrong. Within a week, he had actually issued a public apology saying, look, I didn't really realize exactly what he'd done, and it was a mistake for me to bring him into the school.
Jeff, let me ask you, in your story, you write about basically the path that Zander took towards becoming apologetic for his actions. And they involve a whole cast of very high-placed and powerful people in the Boston area. His wife, Rosamond, Zander's wife, was actually in Africa at the time. He calls her up. She comes down off Mount Kilimanjaro to come back here to give him advice. That's one person. Zander's own brother comes from London. He's a very well-known legal scholar. And even former Ambassador Swanee Hunt, who's a neighbor. Here are the people who are surrounding him. It takes that many people for him to start feeling apologetic, to say, yeah, maybe you did something wrong.
I mean, it feels like a Wes Anderson movie, like we're watching like the Royal Tenenbaums with real people. I mean, sometimes I want to talk to my wife. She's not climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. And, his wife, who he has been separated from since the mid-80s, yet speaks to every day. They seem to get along really well. They live around the corner from each other. And she basically said to him, Ben, you brought in a convicted sex offender who took videos of kids, and you brought him into a school to film children and didn't tell anybody. And I think that and other, tough love really kind of shocked him into realizing, you know what, this was crazy for me not to have told the school about it.
About Benjamin Zander, the man, I mean, people who have worked with him know him not only for his musical brilliance, but his charisma. I mean, he's a world-renowned inspirational speaker on leadership and creativity, a really dynamic guy overall. And I want to just give listeners a little bit of a taste of that. Here's some tape of Benjamin Zander instructing some NEC students on the art of interpretation. And it's in a rehearsal that WBUR recorded shortly before this scandal broke.
Tell, what is this song about?
This song is about how great music is. And
yeah, but more than that. This is the artist who says thank you to music for the solace that you've given me in my life, even when I was desperately sad, even when I was without hope, you gave me solace. Okay, everybody's got it.
So that's Benjamin Zander, the man, his music, his soul. Is he still like that, or has he been deflated by this experience?
Well, one of the weirdest experiences during this reporting process came in the middle of it, which is he was giving a paid talk to Boston Scientific. He said, oh, why don't you come and watch it? And I showed up there, and he gave this really inspiring talk on leadership in the midst of having this massive professional disaster occur. It was very interesting. I mean, he was totally on. He said that he was thinking every once in a while about what was going on at NEC, and it did jar him a little bit, but I didn't notice it. I mean, he was totally engaged. He was prancing all over the room. He was grabbing these, you know, these scientists who were being trained and, you know, shaking them up. He was leading them in happy birthday. He was playing the piano. He's really a great communicator.
Well, but I think that's exactly the reason why so many people find what happened with Xander and the NEC is like such a puzzling catastrophe, because what Xander did was not communicate what he did know about this videographer to leadership at the New England Conservatory. So let's look at the other side here. Like, you talked to NEC President Tony Woodcock. He's a man who ended up firing Benjamin Xander. How does he feel about this whole episode in retrospect?
Well, people have also raised the question of why NEC didn't do any checks on Peter Benjamin.
Well, criminal background checks would seem to be, you know, a no-brainer given that there's so many children who are at NEC.
Well, I volunteered for my daughter's Girl Scouts troop last year one day. I think I drove them somewhere, and I had to do a Corey check, this criminal background check. So I am surprised that they didn't do any of that.
Well, what did Woodcock tell you about that?
He said he took responsibility, that it was a mistake, that they, you know, that things are different now, that anybody coming in to NEC would have a, you know, doing work for them would have a check. He did say if he found out that there's another faculty member who knowingly hired Peter Benjamin and didn't tell NEC, they'd be dealt with.
Mm. You know, Jeff, there have been some reports about prior conflicts between Tony Woodcock and Benjamin Xander, and some people think that this incident was just the last straw.
Last summer, NEC basically forced Xander out of his position leading the youth orchestra, and it was going to take 2 years, and they called it a transition plan, but they were going to have, you know, a year of tribute concerts, and they were going to do a tour, and it was going to be with great fanfare, and that's obviously not going to happen now. At the time, Xander and Woodcock presented a unified front saying this was the plan. When I talked to Xander, he made it clear that's not what he wanted the plan to be. He wanted to continue. I mean, his father lived into his 90s, and Xander will say with a little bit of a smile, you know, he wants to work until then. The question, though, is could this have somehow been ginned up to get him out earlier? And neither Xander nor Woodcock say that's credible. And then if you think about it, why would Woodcock or anyone at NEC cook up a controversy like this? It's really a disaster for everybody.
Jeff Edgers is the arts reporter for the Boston Globe and a regular contributor to Radio Boston. Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We've got a link to Jeff's piece, by the way. It was in the Sunday Globe, and now it's at our website, radioboston.org.